Well, hello there. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber here at the Word of the King, the Holiness of Bibles for the Blind.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4 tells us that where the Word of the King is, there is power. We may say unto him, what doest thou?
Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Start. Feel free to let me know when you're there. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Verse 11, 1 Corinthians 13. Word of God declares, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. We're talking tonight about what it means, according to God's Word, to be a man. Now, the so-called Bibles, there are really no Bibles at all, but are just satanic counterfeits. In this context, 1 Corinthians 13,
you mean comic books.
The word charity out, and they replace it with love. But love and charity are not the same thing. God is love. Charity is the working out of the love of God between us, between one another. Christianity is not about what is going on around you, but inside of you. Now, the Word of God declares, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. We were talking about what the Word of God declares, and the Word of God talks about some of those childish things earlier, the contentions, the division, the strifes. We're going to grow up and we're going to become a man. We must put away such childish things, those envies, those strifes, those contentions of which we spoke earlier. And we must remember that to be a man, we must live by faith. And faith, as it was well said, this morning, we were reminded, is forsaking all, I trust him. You know, the Christian life, sometimes one is tempted to talk and even some perhaps complain about how hard the Christian life is. But as was pointed out, the reason the Christian life is hard, because it's work. Hence, Philippians chapter 2, we're told, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to look at a man named Moses. Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 23. Let me know when you're there.
I got it, Tim.
Amen.
By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he stopped and he considered how good Moses had it in Egypt. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was like the second in command. And yet, when he came to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Being a man, part of being a man is knowing how to refuse the evil and choose the good. And as we were reminded, Moses was pretty well up there in years when God started to use him. So, becoming a man, going from being a child, being childish, being a man. With God can be a very lengthy process. I'm reminded of the exhortation in Galatians where it says that we're not to be weary in well-doing. We're not to faint, but be weary in well-doing. Knowing of the Lord, we shall receive a reward. We faint not. We shall reap that which is according to our obedience. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Indeed, there is pleasure in sin for a season, but in the other of it works death. Verse 46, esteeming the riches of Christ. I want to get the word here. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches. So the riches of Christ comes with reproach, and that the reproach of Christ. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he, Moses, had respect unto the recompense of the reward. There, the recompense of the reward is what we were just talking about a moment ago when mentioning the verse there, the exhortation in the context of Galatians about we faint not in well-doing. We shall reap a reward, a recompense to the Lord. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Moses, the man, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured and seeing him who was invisible. Again, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Be a man. We must keep our eyes on the man, Christ Jesus. Our hearts must be fixed. Trusting in him, not fearing any evil tidings. And that can be very, very difficult at times. Especially as we get closer and closer to his return. But nevertheless, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. The question was posed this morning by the pastor who brought forth this same message. Yeah, meaning those of us who were there at the service, why are we here? Why are we here? Why are we here right now, you and me? Now, of course, I'm posing that question now, Kate, to you and Ruth. Why are we here? Why are we doing what we're doing right now? I'll be over the phone. Ephesians chapter 4. By the way, the answer is we might grow up. We might grow up. We might go from that which is childish and grow up. Be men, be women, for God's own heart. Starting in verse 7 of Ephesians 4, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Continuing down through verse 15, verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he left captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. I'm reminded about how God sent not his son into the world, but he done the world, that the world through him might be saved. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. The perfecting of the saints, that word perfecting right there, has to do with maturing. The perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. Perfecting, maturing, talking about growing up, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect, mature man, that is, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we escort no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, here it is, may grow up into him, talking about Christ in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So there we have it. We're to grow up into him, Christ, who is the head, all things. So, I would ask myself, I would ask you, I would ask Ruth, are we growing up? Are we still walking in that which is according to childishness? You know, so easy sometimes, so easy when we forget to murmur and to complain because things don't go well. But as surely as we murmur, as surely as we complain, but things don't go our way, we are not being a man. You're not, in the case of the ladies, we're not, you're not being a woman. You complain and you murmur whenever things don't go your way. We've all been there. It's our shame. We've all been guilty. We can thank God that we have an advocate with the Father when we sin. Confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all righteousness. But let's not continue in such a place. Let's not continue in such murmur. But let's go forth and grow up in him, into him, in all things the head, even Christ. Remember, we have that example there in 1 Corinthians 10 of the children of Israel and how they were destroyed and destroyed when they were murmuring and they were complaining against God in the days of Moses. I have faith in God and worry at the same time. Think about that. That would help you out. I know it helped me out. I can't say I have faith in God and worry at the same time.
Yeah.
And like the preacher said this morning, and this is indeed true, I know because I feed all the time with my mom, and I confess this is one thing I love, but this is one thing that drives me crazy, is the way people will justify worry and they'll call it concern. Yeah. So let's not cover up our worrying in a cloak of holy concern, but let's put away such childishness, put away all sin in our own lives personally. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus, and the church of the Thessalonians, and God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 2, grace unto you and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. And the charity of every one of you all toward each other abounded. So there we see again, charity and testimony of the Word of God concerning the church of Thessalonica and their charity abounding toward each other. Every one of them. Their faith growing exceedingly. Oh, good God, our faith would daily grow exceedingly. That our charity would abound one toward another. And it was also mentioned this morning, you don't have to turn back there, but in the context of Ephesians 4, the point we all made, that the reason why man is commanded to labor with his own hands, that he might have to give him that has need. So, I'm surely hoping to myself labor once more here again with my own hands, albeit with the IRS, myself. I'm already, by the grace of God, I'm already determined that I'm going to be in the mind and I'm going to labor with the intention of giving to him that needs it. One labors and they do not labor with the intention of giving to him that has need. They've missed the point of why God has commanded man to labor in the first place, according to that verse there in Ephesians chapter 4, where it says, let him that stole steal no more, let him labor, work with his own hands, that he may have to give whereof to him that needeth. So, part of being a man is having a heart, having a desire to work you may give to him that has need. First Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. Verses 1 through 3. Wherefore laying aside all malice, desire to harm another, and all guile, simple appearance of evil, and hypocrisy, envies, and all evil speakings. Verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Verse 3, so that ye have tasted, the Lord is gracious. Childishness of malice, the childish things of guile, the childish things of hypocrisy, the childish things of envy, the childishness of evil speaking. We're going to be a man. We're going to be, in the case of the lady, a woman, for God's own heart, who has put away such things. God help us to do so. And having desired the sister milk of the word, we got to start chewing all the more on the meat, because as one goes from being a child, one goes from consuming more than just milk. So we're going to be a man, a spiritual man, according to God's definition of a man. He's going to desire the meat that God has to give to those who fear him and his word. So, are we desiring, we're talking about if we should judge ourselves, we should not be judged in the context of 1 Corinthians 11. Are we truly desiring all the more the meat of God's word on a daily basis? 2 Peter 3:18. We'll be winding down here shortly. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace, God's unmerited, unearned favor, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That right there is what being a man is all about. Growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we grow in the grace, as we grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. So, in conclusion, may we examine ourselves. May we remember that spirit wars against the flesh, flesh against the spirit. As surely as we're saved, there will be times when we cry out, if not in our own mouth, certainly within our own heart, silently in our own heart, cry out, O wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from the body of this death. Something else was said this morning. Well, I'm saying the same thing. I hope this was good. One gentleman once said that when it comes to saying the same thing over and over, it's good to remember. If you throw enough dirt at the wall, some of it sticks. So, something wrong with repeating things, something wrong with saying things over and over again, even when it seems on the surface as though it doesn't seem to be sinking in, because if you throw enough dirt the wall, some of it sticks. I thought that was pretty good. I don't know about you, but I thought that was pretty good.
Well, we're told, but as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. But cursed. Yea, everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, we're told in the book of Galatians, all but here it is. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, repent ye and believe the gospel, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, shall cleanse you from all sin, for if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, venial, mortal, sin, whatever you call it, all unrighteousness. God is faithful to forgive those who confess their sins to him through faith in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection alone. By grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Call upon the Lord today. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber. Till next time, God bless you and yours.